This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Alrighty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. BYU is 8-0. The Cougars are ranked 9th in the country. Now joining us is their sensational quarterback and Jake Retzlaff, who's kind enough to join us on the program right now, and he has an awesome story to tell. Jake, appreciate you doing this. How you been?
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me on. I've been good. Like you said, 8-0. It's a good feeling.
Well, I got a little intel on you that you claim to be the best ping pong player on the BYU football team. Can I get the scouting report and talk a little trash right out of the gate on your ping pong abilities?
Yeah, I do it all. The backhand is gnarly. The forehand is gnarly. I cut the ball with some great spin. The top spin is nuts. It's a fun game, man. I've mastered my craft since being here. The young guys like to challenge me, but I take them down. Ethan Erickson, tight end for us, he is up there too. He is a baller. If I had to say anybody could be up there and compete, he can definitely compete for it. He's a good ping pong player. If it was 1A, 1B, I'd be okay with that. But yeah, no, we are definitely at the top alone.
Now, I know Kalani Sitake is very competitive. Have you ever challenged him to ping pong? I have no clue about his ping pong abilities, but I assume he's pretty much probably good at everything.
You're right about him being competitive. Even more competitive is Coach Jay Hill, our defensive coordinator. So he's hopped on the tables a few times. And any time I can get him on is rare, but then I like to just, you know, beat him real quick and get him on his way. And he calls some sort of rule or something that I've never heard of before and does something cheap usually to try to get a point here or there. But I usually beat him too.
What's more competitive, when you go up against his defense in practice or when you go up against him on the ping pong tables?
I don't know, man. That's close. That's a close call. His defense flies around the football field. But then when you get Jay Hill one-on-one on a ping pong table, that's a heck of a setting you don't get on the field. So I don't know. That might be more competitive.
Jake Retzlaff here with us. A fun start to this conversation. So there's so much to your story. Let me start you off with Golden West College and Riverside City College. What did you take away from those two stops in your journey?
Looking back on it, it's nice to have a little hindsight, right? Hindsight is 2020. And so just being able to see like that I was putting in the hard work and it did pay off. You know, it's the delayed gratification is easier for me now than it was in junior college. Because in junior college, you're doing everything you can all the time and doing things that you don't feel like you should have to do. So that junior college is a grind like no other. Anybody who's been through that route and is a JUCO product and got out and got to this level, I got a lot of respect for that because it takes something else to persevere through that. And so takeaways, man, like I said, it's just that being able to just know that I'm putting in work and it's going to get realized at some point. And it's nice to know that the work I put in has paid off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're such a resilient human being. And I know that, right, you had to deal with COVID like everyone else did. But for you, it was during when you're in high school and you're getting recruited. Just how discouraging was it initially when the big schools didn't really come your way, or, you know, the big time programs weren't all in on Jake just because of the path that, even though it worked out for you and you're at a place now where you're successful, but initially there were some bumps in the road to get to where you are today?
Yeah, it was more than that. It was like, not only was it the big schools that didn't want anything to do with me, but it was the little schools that didn't want anything to do with me. It was no school wanted anything to do with me. There was no opportunity put in front of me other than like the only opportunity that was actually put in front of me was a walk-on spot at Utah Tech. Wow. Where I was told I'd never be able to compete for the job. Huh. That was the only opportunity put in front of me. And obviously that's a horrible opportunity. I'm not going to go to a place, that doesn't value me and just has me on the roster. I'm going to a place that values me. And so junior college valued me way more than that. And so that was a decision out of high school. And, I played at Corona Centennial, which is a really, really, powerhouse Southern California football team. And our head coach, Matt Logan, who's a mentor of mine and just an incredible human being, is he was trying to pull strings with me to places that, would love to have me now, I bet. Like, I think Northern Arizona, we were begging for a walk-on spot there. And so that's just two opportunities that I didn't even get. And now, so being at BYU is just incredible. And it's the reason why I wouldn't have it any other way. Just being able to go through the journey of junior college, I had some fun times that I'll never forget. I had some hard times too, like you said, but there was also some really fun times that were worth it in the end.
Sometimes when you're getting doubted, like down deep, you know who you are and you know what you're capable of. But when the outside world or other people that are controlling those decisions don't see it, you probably doubt yourself a little bit. Like, how confident were you back then when you weren't getting the looks that you wanted that, hey, I could go on to be, a top quarterback in college football one day?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just about getting on the field somewhere and playing. The passion for the game is what drove me. Where some people might have been the passion to play at the highest level, passion to go to the NFL. For me, it was the passion to just purely playing the game. And so continuing my career in any way I could. And that's why I found junior college. Like, I knew I was a good quarterback. I knew if I went to junior college, I'd win a starting job and I'd have a good opportunity to play and put my talents out there for people to see. But for me, it was just I always wanted to play ball. And I mean, I played every sport growing up, football, basketball, and baseball, lettered in all three in high school. And so it was just about getting on the field and playing another game. And yeah, I felt like I could play those places that turned me down. And I felt like I could have starred there. But at the same time, man, when you get shut down like that, you're right. You look inside and you're like, man, am I good enough? And so there are those days, especially during the COVID times and during the JUCO times, where you're just like, man, this is hard. This is really hard. But like I said, it was the passion for the game that kept me going, man. I just always wanted to get out there and play. And once I was on the football field, once all the noise outside was silenced and I was on the field, man, that was the serenity for me. And that's where I felt, most at home and comfortable.
If I would have told you 4 years ago that 4 years from now you'd be a quarterback on a top 10 ranked team and undefeated 8 weeks into the season, what would you have told me? Would you have believed that?
I don't know if that I would have, to be honest with you. I definitely, would have said whatever, just get me to a place to play. 4 years ago, you're talking about that's the end of in high school. And I'd be like, well, whatever, man. I just want a spot to play on a team. I don't need all that, I would say probably. But it's been a blessing, man, to be able to be here. And this team is the best, best team I've ever been on. And these guys are awesome. The way they approach the day, the way they approach the game, and the way they approach life. And it's been so fun. And I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
And I say this as a Jewish kid. Like, would you ever believe a Jewish kid would be the starting quarterback at BYU? That's
Yeah.
unbelievable. Like, my dad first told me about you a few years ago, and he was like, "Can you believe a Jewish quarterback last year is playing for BYU?" And I'm like, "No, I can't, but it's been some story."
Yeah, it's definitely wild, and it's definitely a little bit of a narrative, and it's obviously a fun deal from where I'm at now, but it is something like you said that nobody, I think, would have imagined.
Was there skepticism at first? I know you just want an opportunity. Was there skepticism being Jewish and going to BYU?
Yeah, no doubt, man. It was less of me being Jewish going to BYU and more of what the church's role was at BYU. Because obviously, this being owned and operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So you knew it was going to be different. And it was definitely a conversation I had with my parents. It was like, hey, what's it going to be like? Like, it's like, okay, the town's going to be slower. It's going to be a different pace than Southern California. And that was definitely something I had to slow down to and acclimate myself to. But also, just like, we saw the benefits of it too. We saw that. Well, I'm going to be able to be focused on football and school. A BYU degree is a great degree. The network here, like outside of football alone, the network at BYU, the degree at BYU, it means a lot. And then when it comes to football, like I'm because of the way this school is focused on like real life, and it's not focused on the fake stuff like the party scenes of other places. Like that stuff doesn't really do anything for you. Like it can be a good time, don't get me wrong, but like it doesn't do something for you. But winning football games and getting a degree here does a lot for you. And so for me, it's been awesome that just the focus on the main thing. And I talk about this a little bit, just keeping the main thing. It's been a, and that's what BYU, I think, does better than 90% or maybe everybody else in the country.
And it's really like a great life lesson and a world lesson. Like, you don't need people from similar backgrounds that maybe we would think would never would be in the same room or on the same football field, and this is also the game of football as well. It's like you guys work for one common goal, and if you're willing to put in the work, and if the coaches are willing to put in the work, and the teammates, everyone gets along, and they have a grand old fun time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Football is a microcosm of life. I mean, so many interactions I have here is with people who, you got to get along with no matter what. And not that it's been hard here at all, because the guys in this locker room are second to none for sure. But getting a common goal done, and at the same time, we are so different. I believe we have the most diverse locker room in the country. We have guys from everywhere. We got guys from Utah. We got guys from Atlanta. We got guys from East Coast. We got guys from Washington. We got guys from California. We got guys from Arizona. Guys from all over, all different types of backgrounds. And so it's been super fun. You talk about the diversity of the guys. It's like it's you know it's cool to just have us come together for a common goal. And you just wish the world was a football locker room sometimes, because it's awesome to see everybody come from so many different backgrounds, so many different upbringings, and come together for a common goal, and then execute that goal at a high level.
Jake Retzlaff here with us, the quarterback of BYU. They're ranked ninth in the country. They are 8-0. These last 2 years, you've been through a lot, obviously, and this is a life-changing experience for you. What have you learned about yourself, Jake, in these last 2 years at BYU?
Man, I've learned that my parents did a pretty good job. I've learned that just being me is going to do a lot for me. Don't be a fake guy. Don't be, doing all these things for the wrong reasons. Just do them for the right reasons. Talk to the people like they're people. It's fun. Just like when we go to places, like we were in Florida this last week, and the cops who were walking us around throughout places, it was like cool chatting with them, because those guys are,
Yeah.
local to there. And they have grown a liking to us just from our trip there. And they have but they don't know anything about us. And it's cool to learn about them, and they learn about us a little bit, and they get to see us in action and get a pretty up close view of it. And it's cool. Like I said, just treating everybody that way, and getting treated good because of it. And so it's been super fun to be able to meet people from all over the world, all over the country, and bring everybody together for some BYU football.
For people that have not seen you play, like obviously they could hear this conversation, they could understand the type of human being you are, but on that football field, how would you describe your game?
Just go get it, man. No matter what it is, I'm gonna go get it. Just the toughness. I think I try to play with as much toughness as I can. And if I take a hit, the harder the hit, the faster I usually get up. You know what I mean? And just because, I'm gonna show those guys that, oh, that hit fired me up. That didn't hurt me at all. And at the same time, just making plays in all facets of the game, running the ball. The first touchdown last week was a running touchdown. The second touchdown was a handoff, and then the third touchdown was a throw. And so, it's super fun, man. It's just every single aspect of the game, man. Just trying to bring these guys up around me and let the guys around me play, because there's I got some really good players around me. So I know that's kind of a long-worded explanation of it, but that improviser mentality, that get it done any way you can, it's kind of guy I am.
You being in your early 20s, I'm just wondering, like when you were in your teens, late teens even, like no one was talking about you. Now you're like a huge story each and every college football Saturday, and you still come off extremely humble. Just what has it been like getting this extra and much deserved attention that you've received?
It's cool, but and it's fun, and it brings a lot of opportunity at the same time. Like talking to you today, and so, but at the same time, like I said earlier, keeping the main thing is important. And winning, the reason I'm here is because we're winning football games,
Yeah.
and it's because of the work I put in the off season. Like, it's not because of the interviews that we're winning games; it's the other way around. And making sure that that's clear in our heads, and that's clear that all these awards or watch lists or whatever comes up here and there, like, it's all super fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's only there because we're putting in the work and doing the right things off and on the field, that gets us to where we're at. And so just staying focused on that, man. And it's been 100 years of BYU football. It's one of the coolest things about this year. We're having a magical year in 100 years, and it's been 40 years since we won a national championship exactly the year. And so recognizing that it wasn't me who did this, it wasn't even this year's team that did this, it was everybody before us. And so we're playing for something bigger than ourselves.
I'll bring another proud Jew into this conversation. I saw what El Presidente Dave Portnoy was tweeting about you over the weekend. When are we going to start talking about BYU for Heisman? All proceeds go to Jake, and they have your shirt up there, which is awesome. I'm going to buy one right after this conversation. You know, I'm a Heisman voter. I know your numbers. You got 21 total touchdowns on the season, over 2,200 yards. Just what do you want to say to people voting for the Heisman Trophy? Do you feel like you should be in that mix and in that conversation?
Yeah, it's been a fun conversation that's come up in the recent weeks. But man, I just want to put our team in the best situation. Like I said, the awards are awesome, man. The awards are fun. And if you vote for me, that'd be cool. That's awesome. But I think the best way to plead my case is to show up in the big games and continue this run. Because it turns out the Heisman winners are usually taken from the best teams and the teams that do the best. And so if I can put this team in the best situation, then that'll give me the best chance for some postseason awards, which would be super fun. But yeah, man, I'm just trying to get this team to the next level and every week get better and better.
I know you said you want to keep the main thing the main thing. I know what that means. But like, even when you repeat that message, your brain naturally has to wander to the college football playoff and what it would be like, maybe even playing in the NFL as well. Like, just from the human side of it, have you thought about those things? Like, it has to be, you know, just natural for that to pop into your mind with it already being towards the end of October and November right around the corner.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's natural. There's no doubt that maybe it's been, you know, came up in conversation even, but it just comes back to like thinking about something like that. It's like thinking about how I got to BYU. You know what I mean? Like thinking about playing at BYU is not what got me to BYU. It was putting in the work. It was playing the JUCO ranks and winning those games and winning those weeks of practice. And so for me, I love the process as much as anything. And so I love going through a Monday practice, which is mostly just a walkthrough. And then I love going through a Tuesday practice. We call it Bloody Tuesday. And that's a hard practice, man, because your body's not fully recovered yet. And yet you still got to go hard. We go, you know, ones versus two. We go crossover offense versus defense. And then there's some scout work towards the end of the day. And then Wednesday is more scout work and it's refining all of the things for the game plan. Thursday is more of a glorified walkthrough, Friday walkthrough, and then Saturday game. And like, I love that journey throughout the week. And that's the season, man. That is the season. We are 8 games in. We got to go play game 9 in a couple weeks. But it's going to take game 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 to get to that playoff. And so when I think about the playoff, I think about the opportunities in front of me right now that are going to help me put myself in the best situation to get there. So like you said, keeping the main thing is easy when you're talking about the process because, yeah, I could talk about how I would love to go to the college football playoff and turn up and do great things, but how do I do that? And that's going back to, I got practice this afternoon and we got to perform in practice and you know what I mean? And so I love that mentality. It always brings me back. You know, you can let your mind wander. It's healthy to let your mind wander. Actually sitting in kind of silence for 15 minutes a day is a good thing. And just thinking is a great thing. Your imagination is super powerful. But when you still have the same mindset, it just brings you back to where your feet are. And that's what I love about what Coach Kalani is teaching here and what this culture and what this team is doing every day. Cause I don't think I've been around a better group of individuals that attack every day for what it is than this team.
Well, enjoy the bye week, enjoy practice. And I know you got a tough one next week up against Utah. Before we let you run, Jake Retzlaff, do you have your Star of David on you? Just wondering the chain.
Yeah. It's a cold day, so it's underneath the hoodie, but I always got it, man. I always got it on.
You know, you do jersey swaps. You know, maybe we'll do a chain swap. I got my 10 commandments right there. My fat fingers are covering it, but that was my grandfather. But hey, I appreciate the time. Your story's a whole lot of fun, and good luck and keep kicking ass the rest of the way.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate Jake's time today. Wonderful conversation. A lot of respect for him. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Stephon Diggs out for the season. Texans a little vulnerable. Can anyone step up and maybe win this AFC South besides the Houston Texans? We got a quarterback change in Indianapolis. Whoa, the Jaguars stink. Would have been nice if they would have won a few more games to start the season. And we know Tennessee doesn't love their quarterback. We will examine and do a deep dive. Could get a little messy, but we'll do a deep dive into the AFC South next. I saw that the
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore Ravens have made a trade for Diontae Johnson. You know, I think that's a solid, and I mean a solid move by the Baltimore Ravens. Would I have liked to see them swing a little bit bigger? Yeah. I wanted them to swing for Davante Adams. I wanted them to swing for Amari Cooper. But Diontae Johnson is a nice complimentary piece, is how I will say it. No one, I know for sure he looks at himself like he's the number one wide receiver, but he's not. He is like one of those guys that there's a lot of days that you look at him and you're like, he's a number two wide receiver. Like a solid number two, but then there's times where it's like, okay, he's a three. He's like an in-betweener. You know, it's crazy how he thinks he's a one. But he's like in between a two and a three. He's like a two and a half, where there's some two upside, but he's nowhere worse than a number three wide receiver on a team. Now, at the Ravens, from now into the deadline next week on Election Day, on Tuesday, November 5th, which is right around the corner, a week from today, I think they got to go add a defensive player. You know, beef up that defense a little bit, even though that defense is good just for some of the injuries that they suffered. But that was a good move by the Baltimore Ravens today, and I think it's low risk, and I would say medium size reward. And the Ravens, even though Lamar has obviously improved through the years as a thrower, you don't want, as Jake Retzlaff would say, the main thing to be the main thing of the Ravens throwing the football. That can't be the main thing. And you saw it last year. It was like they were trying to be the Chiefs in a certain way, where it was like, we're going to get away from the main thing, which is using Lamar to run and using our running backs to run. And they wanted to air out the ball more, and it cost them on a big stage, as it was a terrible, and I mean a terrible approach by the Ravens coaching staff last year in that AFC championship game. But we get it back into the AFC South. The Colts, they have sat down Anthony Richardson. In terms of going to try to win, in terms of who's the better player, yeah, Flacco is better than Anthony Richardson in the year of 2024. And in this tough four-game stretch, obviously, Joe Flacco is better equipped to navigate that than Anthony Richardson. But I have to ask a question here to the Colts. Do you still believe that Anthony Richardson could be your franchise quarterback? Because if you don't, then you make this move. But if you do, you need to play Anthony Richardson. So I think that there is a bigger talking point here. It's not just, oh, you can't just only chalk it up. Flacco's better now. It's time for Richardson to sit down for a bit. And we believe in him down the road. You make this move, it signals to me that there's no reason why the Colts to believe that Anthony Richardson is their franchise quarterback moving forward. And I can't fault them for making that decision now. The sample size has not been big enough. Richardson was hurt last year. Richardson was hurt for some of this year. And right, we saw a little run by Joe Flacco. But when you have someone like Shane Steichen, who's a smart offensive mind, you could tell early in a partnership if the guy has it or not. And you look back at the 49ers with Trey Lance. Yeah, they moved mountains to go get Trey Lance, but they knew early on Trey Lance wasn't the guy, that they made a mistake, and that they love Brock Purdy. There's just a way that when you've been around that long, you just know. You're not always right, but you just know. And I never understood why Richardson was used with the fourth pick of the draft, outside of the fact that people tried to make him out to be something that he wasn't. And, you know, I know it sounds like we're bashing Hickey. I'm not here. But I use Hickey as an example because he is a Colts fan. And this is just, I would use this example if, let's say, Samter or Stu were rooting for this player and that was their team. But I remember working with Hickey, and we would talk about Anthony Richardson leading up to the draft. And this is how we talked about him. Inconsistent, hurt a lot, accuracy isn't there, has physical tools, but he doesn't put them together. And he's never put them together for a long stretch. Like, you go back to Billy Napier's first game, they beat Utah. And I remember saying this at the time, it almost would have been better if they would have lost that game, because then the expectations get out of whack. And I know it's a loser mentality. But when you have a big, passionate program and a fan base like Florida, but the expectations got out of whack for Billy Napier and Anthony Richardson. And maybe like one other game you saw Anthony Richardson be great, but you didn't really see him be all that great. And there's all these excuses that are made why someone isn't great. But I remember Hickey and I, extensively as we talked leading up to the draft, would discuss Anthony Richardson as we didn't think he'd be worth a top five pick. But then the moment your team drafts him, you totally do a 180 and you try to be like, oh, yeah, this guy, if he does that well or that well or this well or that well, he would turn into something great. You know what it's kind of like? You're at a bar and there is a 10 out of 10 girl that's at the bar and you're standing there and she starts talking to you. And let's be real. I think you all know when you're out kicking your coverage. And let's just say you are someone at a bar, you know, single guy, cute, really attractive, 10 out of 10 girl comes walking up to you and she starts like flirting with you. And you're like, okay, I'll buy her a drink, right? So you buy her a drink. And then you're talking with her and you know in the back of your mind, man, I got no chance with this girl. This girl's way out of my league. But she's talking to you, but you bought her a drink. So you start to think, hey, maybe I'm going to get lucky. Maybe that's going to happen. But in reality, she's just using you to have you keep on buying her drinks so she doesn't have to pay in New York City $20 for a drink, right? Like, we've all been there. It's all happened. That's kind of what Hickey has become with Anthony Richardson. Like, you know, he's thinking that's going to be the franchise quarterback. He's going to get lucky and have his franchise quarterback, but the franchise quarterback completely misled him. And Anthony Richardson, in the entire draft process, we have done this now with multiple quarterbacks. We all salivate over Mahomes. And we're like, oh, this guy could be 50% of Mahomes, 60% of Mahomes. And if you see like three or four throws that he makes, people then have this narrative, but you eventually have to put it together. Like, I remember watching Zach Wilson in college. It was a BYU game. Oh, I want to say it was up against Boise State. I could be wrong. But he was rolling around, stopped at a dime, then fired the ball down the right sideline. I want to say it was that guy Dax Milne, who they had a little interesting relationship with. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go read about it online. And the receiver is falling out of bounds. And Zach Wilson put perfect ball placement, showing mobility, good arm strength and accuracy, and it was right there. Right there. And that throw was viral. Everyone talked about, oh, what an incredible throw. Unbelievable. But where are the other times that he's done that? You know, anyone can make themselves look great in one moment in life. But it's, can you consistently do that? And Anthony Richardson has small doses, extremely a small amount of doses of moments where you're like, oh, he could be this, he could be that. But he's not that. Because either he doesn't display that quarterback consistently, whether it's a lack of ability, or he's always hurt and he's not available. So I look at this Colts decision today where, yes, it's true that they think Joe Flacco gives them a better chance to win. But I think there's a bigger conversation here. And the conversation is, even in this small amount of time, even though he's been hurt a bunch, Shane Steichen's like, yeah, this ain't the dude. This ain't the guy. Because you don't sit down a young quarterback this early on if you still think he could be the guy when you already ripped off the Band-Aid. And you already said, okay, we're going to throw him to the walls and we're going to have him play. So I don't think a year from now, maybe he's the starting quarterback as Flacco retires, but I don't think a year from now we're going to ever legitimately believe, even if he is starting, that he's intended to be the guy moving forward in Indy. Let's go to Kevin in San Antonio, Texas, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Hey, Kev, what's happening?
How's it going? This is my first time calling on your show, and you got a great show, Greg. And what I'm thinking is that I think Richardson needs to sit down and do his homework right now, because I know they threw him in the fire and then he getting beat up. You know, he needs to learn from a veteran quarterback to go in and know the ropes, and then, you know, he's not a franchise quarterback yet, but you know how to, you have to develop him first. You can't throw him out in the fire first.
You know what, though? I really think what he said, and I know one comment shouldn't derail someone, but what he said after the game where he openly admitted that he was tired and that's why he took himself out of the game, in a locker room of grown men, you know, eventually if you ball out, that could win people over. But I don't think you win people back over, you know, realistically thinking, with what he said after the game on Sunday.
Yeah, but he shouldn't give up. You know, you got to keep on fighting. You want to keep your job. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah. Hey, it's one thing to give up. It's then another thing to admit that you gave up. And he admit that he gave up and quit on the team because he was too tired. So, appreciate it. Hey, by the way, Kevin, do you know my name? Just wondering.
Huh?
Do you know my name? Just wondering.
Yeah, I just turned the TV on. I listened to your show and watched the show.
Gotcha. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Kevin. I thought, right, Stu, I thought he said Greg in the beginning.
Sounded like Greg.
Now, I'm not going to be a douche about it. Nice to meet you, Kevin, in San Antonio, Texas. I'm Zach Gelb. You know, we win people over one day by a time, but I thought he was saying Greg right out of the gate. I remember I had a caller once during the pandemic. He was like, the Scott Gelb Show. Like, that's how he called us up. And that's how he sounded. That's why I did that kind of voice. And I was like, hey, let's play a game here. I'm going to name a host at the network. You give me I'm going to give you a last name. You give me the first name. So I was like, Barber. I'm like, Tiki. Lawrence. Amy. Rome. Jim. And then I said, Amendolara. And they were like, I was like, come on, DA, I'll even give you the first name. And then he's like, oh, the guy that works with the fat guy. And he was talking about Mraz, which was not nice, but that was that show, okay. So he was like, yeah, I know Mraz and DA, you know, because DA went by DA on the air, so you may not know that his first name is Damon. And then I was like, Gelb. And he goes, Scott, come on, you're my favorite host, Scott. And I'm like, my name is Zach. Nice to meet you. He's like, oh, man, I feel really embarrassed. So I was just messing around there with Kevin. I don't think it was a level of Scott Gelb level from a few years ago. But however you find us, I don't care. Just as long as you listen. If you want to think my name is Jim, fine. If you want to think my name is Greg, that's fine as well. You know what? Last night, I was at the Yankee game. And Craig Carden of FS1 and used to be here. He was two rows in front of me. I was very tempted, by the way, Stu, because they had the camera on him. He does the show for Fox, you know, games broadcasted on Fox. So they had the camera on him, and they were doing some promo during the game. Like, oh, there's Craig, host of Breakfast Ball, blah, blah, blah. I was so tempted when the camera was on him to, like, run down and get the FaceTime and photobomb it. I thought it would be really good for the brand. But since I know Craig, I didn't want to do that. I thought that would be like a rude thing to do. Also, the camera guy, this is one of his own coworkers. I heard Craig tell this story, like walked down and called him by the wrong name. Like, I forget what he said. Maybe he was like Greg Carden. He's like, are you Greg Carden? He's like, humbling moment. I was like, yes, I'm Craig. Nice to meet you. So when I heard him say, Greg, you know, you hear my name quickly. Oh, Zach Gelb, maybe you thought the G was Greg. I got a chuckle out of that. Anyway, do we have any confidence in any of these teams in the AFC South? Well, once the Texans are now without Stephon Diggs, it's a little bit open. The Jaguars, I already think they're too buried for them to come out of the grave and basically have an Undertaker moment. You know, Tennessee stinks. They don't have a quarterback, and the coach is just fed up. Is there any reason to believe in Indianapolis at 4-4, Stu, can go make a run here, and we get a little Joe Flacco magic like what we saw in Cleveland last year? Remember Joe Flacco, elite Joe Flacco, winning a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens?
I don't think so, honestly.
So they're already at 6 wins. 10 probably wins that division, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Texans, like, there's just more emphasis on C.J. Stroud, but they won a lot of games last year without Stephon Diggs. You just need Nico Collins to come back. You got Tank Dell, you got Joe Mixon, you can run the football on a solid defense. Yeah, the Texans are still going to win this division. All right, we're coming back with overreaction, proper reaction. First up with the latest sports flash, here is Zach. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Stupak, what do we got?
All right, Zach. So the Steelers, they beat the Giants 26-18 last night, but it could have been by a larger margin of victory. In the second quarter, a Russell Wilson touchdown pass to George Pickens was overturned after review showed that Pickens got 2 feet in the end zone, but not both feet. After the game, Russell Wilson said that maybe this rule should change.
It's an interesting rule. You know, it's like, you know, obviously we thought maybe he had dragged his toe, maybe he got it down. You know, we get the same foot down twice, and it's a clear one, and then another one, number two. It's almost like, you know, you get a knee down, it counts as a touchdown. And, you know, getting two rights maybe should, you know, maybe should count.
So overreaction or proper reaction, 2 feet should count as a catch, even if it's the same foot twice.
Offside, that was confusing last night. I remember seeing that play because he got 1 foot down, and then he never got the other foot down, and then he tapped the other foot again. And I don't know, like, at the back of the end zone, like, earlier this year, Polk made a catch that got taken back. But, like, it depends how you fall. Like, if you get a toe down, it's fine. But then if you could get a toe down but not the heel down if you're falling a different way. So that's confusing. But, no, like, because then you would just quickly tap your right and then tap your right again. Right foot, left foot. This is what the NFL does. A catch should be so simple, yet it's so confusing. Right foot down, left foot down, that equals a catch. So no, I don't think if you get your right foot down 2 times or your left foot down 2 times, then the other foot shouldn't have to go down. So I think I said offside. I meant overreaction. You know what I'm going for here. Sorry, I didn't get much sleep last night.
So the Denver Broncos are now 5-3.
And that was Greg Gelb who said.
Yeah, that's right. Not Zach.
Who said offside. Zach Gelb says overreaction.
So Denver's 5-3, and they hold the fifth seed in the AFC despite looking like a contender for the first pick after an ugly 0-2 start. Rookie quarterback Bo Nix hasn't exactly lit it up, but after having no touchdowns and 4 picks through 3 games, Nix has tossed 8 touchdowns and just 1 interception in the past 5. So overreaction or proper reaction, the Broncos will make the playoffs this season.
So my first gut instinct is overreaction. But sometimes you will say something and you go, okay, let me see the schedule, and it's like, ooh, they got a chance. So I'll do this blindly. They're 5-3. They'll lose to the Ravens this weekend. They'll then lose in Kansas City the weekend after that. I then think they'll lose to Atlanta. Then they'll beat the Raiders. They could beat the Browns. Then they have a bye week. They could beat the Colts. I think they'll lose to the Chargers. They'll lose to Cincinnati. And they'll lose to the Chiefs. So that's 4 extra wins I gave them. So that would be 9. If maybe I was being harsh and it goes one more win, they get to 10, it's not the craziest thing in the world. But for now, I will lean with my first initial reaction, or my initial reaction, I don't need to say first. The Broncos will make the playoffs. I will go overreaction.
All right, another surprise team out west is the Cardinals over in the NFC, who are 4-4 in a 3-way tie atop the division with the Seahawks and the 49ers. Kyler Murray has thrown for over 1,600 yards with 11 touchdowns and 3 picks, while adding 344 yards and 2 scores on the ground. So overreaction or proper reaction, Kyler Murray should be in the MVP conversation.
That's an overreaction. You know, I had a good victory last week. You know, they won back-to-back games. They lost to Buffalo. Then they blew out the Rams. They lost to Detroit. They lost to the Commanders. They had a nice comeback up against the Niners. They lose to Green Bay. They beat the Chargers. They beat Miami. It's been up and down. You know, I know that there's not like a clear-cut MVP. There'd be talk about Lamar and Derrick Henry. Josh Allen, obviously, in the mix. I throw TJ Watt in there. So it's open. But Kyler Murray has been good. He's had some bad moments, but he's been more good than bad. But I don't think there is an MVP case to be made right now for Kyler Murray. So overreaction.
Giants fans are up in arms when their star running back Saquon Barkley jumped ship to join the rival Eagles. Through 7 games, Barkley is 2nd in the league with 766 yards on the ground, including nearly 300 in the past 2 games alone. So overreaction or proper reaction, Saquon Barkley has been the best addition for any team in the NFL.
So he's also an MVP candidate, but I will go overreaction here. Even though he's a strong candidate, I'm actually going Derrick Henry with the Ravens. Like, I believe more in the Ravens right now, even coming off a loss, than I do the Eagles. And I still have trust issues with Nick Sirianni. But after the Ravens last year, we all kind of looked at it the way that they lost in the AFC Championship game. There's no reason to believe that they could get to a Super Bowl. And they bring in Derrick Henry, and the way that Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson just wear teams down and compliment you, that's why I give a little bit of the slight edge to Derrick Henry, because I'm thinking they're a Super Bowl team again, where the Eagles, yes, Saquon has been a wonderful addition, but I just still have a trust issue with that team going the distance, where I kind of think that Sirianni will eventually mess it up. So it's something that Saquon didn't do to be clear.
So the NFL is headed to Springfield. The league announced that the Cowboys-Bengals Monday Night Football game on December 9th will be the premiere of the Simpsons Fun Day Football.
What?
So the game will be transformed in real time to Simpsons animations, showing the plays live with Homer representing the Cowboys and Bart on the side of the Bengals.
Bart Winkler?
No, not that Bart. Different Bart. We've seen the NFL already do something similar with the Nickelodeon games and the Toy Story Fun Day game last year. So overreaction or proper reaction, the NFL has too many gimmicky broadcasts.
I don't get this one. They're doing a Simpson broadcast? This is on a Monday night? Gives you a reason to maybe pour yourself a cocktail? Maybe smoke something that makes you look at the screen and enjoy a little animation? You know what? It's fun. I'm not going to be a curmudgeon.
Okay.
I'm not going to be a grumpy old man. I'm not going to be like Greg in the YouTube chat. I'm going to be fun. All righty? I'll be a fun guy. So, proper reaction? No, it would be an overreaction. The NFL is too many gimmicky broadcasts. I'll go overreaction. Whatever. Simpsons, we all love the Simpsons. Fine.
All right, last but not least.
Is it going to be like the Nickelodeon, or as Mad Dog would say, the Nickeldodian broadcast where they have Patrick Starr in the booth? Like, will they have Homer Simpson, you know, being a great broadcaster?
Guess we'll see. Last one, after being benched for Andy Dalton, Bryce Young returned as the starter this week for Carolina, having the best game of the year with 224 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks. After the game, head coach Dave Canales praised the former number one overall pick.
I thought he played fast. I thought he was very decisive. He had some scrambles. He threw the ball away in some situations, which it was the right thing to do. He found a little bit of extra time in the pocket to get some of those late completions, you know, dealt with a pretty good rush group, some things they threw at him. So, you know, that was encouraging, you know, that part of it, to see him play with that type of speed and urgency that showed up on game day was great.
So overreaction or proper reaction, Bryce Young can still turn things around and salvage his career in Carolina.
Overreaction. Dave Canales sounds like when you walk into a store and they're trying to get you to buy some crap. And he's trying to make it out like it's the greatest thing in the world. It's unbelievable. And you know it's like a sleazy kind of salesperson. And they don't really care. They just want to get your money. That's what I kind of just heard there when I was listening to Dave Canales try to sell us on Bryce Young and how awesome Bryce Young is. So you could save it. I'm not going to believe it. Who is the coach of the year in the NFL? I think there's like 15 candidates right now out of the 32 teams. We'll give you my answer next. Also still to come 25 minutes from now, Milwaukee Brewers first baseman Rhys Hoskins will join us. And we still have to get to a news brief, which will come your way in about 40 minutes as well. 2 hours in the books. One more to go. The 60 minutes of the final Zach Gelb show on a Tuesday. We'll get going next.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.